Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. On today's episode, I sit down with Tom Meehan. That's right, Tom, formerly of Kasabian. He's been putting records out as Tom. And we chat about his whole journey to date, and it is a lovely chat. Before we get on with that chat, a few thank yous. So I want to thank the team at the Distraction Pieces Network, which is headed up by the wonderful Mr. Scroobius Pip. I'd like to thank the team at Blue Murder Club Podcast that produce this podcast. Go check them out. They're a great true crime podcast. And the biggest thanks always go to you lot. I'll tell you what, I want to thank my mate Ellie. It was my mate Ellie that that plays bass for Tom, and she guested on the Hardcore Listening podcast that I do, and she dropped me a message and facilitated this. So big thanks to her. And you're in for a treat today. It's a really nice chat, and it's you know. Tom's life has very much been in the public eye from the early days of Kasabian, you know, right up until now, and there's been lots of ups and downs, and you know, it's been great to see him, you know, move on and you know, make records and do what he does best, and we discuss this on today's episode. If it's your first time listening, then hello, you're well late to the party. We're over 500 episodes in, so once you listen to today's episode and you've finished my chat with Tom, go and explore the back catalogue, because you can hear me chatting to the likes of Chuck D from Public Enemy, through to, blimey, the Foo Fighters, the Killers, blimey, the Maccabees, Kasabian were the K's, weren't they? So we've got the Kooks, the Kaisers, the Killers. I've done all of those. They've all been on. And I've had loads of actors and producers and DJs, like Fatboy Slim's been on. So go and have a good rummage around in the archive, because like I say, there's over 500 episodes, so I'm sure you'll find one that you're going to enjoy listening to. And why not subscribe when you're over there? Now, if you really enjoy the podcast and you'd like to support it, there's a very easy way in which you can do that. You can head over to Patreon, patreon.com/ Off the Beat and Track Podcast. And I guess this is the part that people normally whiz past and want to get to the good bit, but it's the Patreon that basically funds this podcast. There's no sponsors on this podcast. So by becoming a Patreon, what you get is access to hundreds and hundreds of never released episodes, radio shows. You get to watch all the episodes. If you're interested in watching the chats, then you can do that over on Patreon, ad-free. And you also get invited to the monthly live show, which is a lovely little monthly thing we do where we do it over Zoom, and you can have your camera on or you can have your camera off, and you can get involved or you can just watch. It's up to you. And it's your opportunity to guest on the podcast with loads of other lovely people. And it's not a judgy thing, or no one's trying to be too cool. It's all about just chatting about lovely records and or scenes or whatever. It's just a nostalgia trip, and it's lovely. And I'd really appreciate, and I think you'd really appreciate if you come along and joined us for one. So you can find out about that and everything else at patreon.com/offthebeatandtrack. And other than that, everything you need to know is at the website, which is Off the Beat And. It's Beat And. It's not Beaten. Off the Beat And Track podcast.com. Right, I think that's all the preamble, amble stuff done. So we get on to the good stuff now. Please enjoy Off the Beat And Track podcast with Tom Meehan.
It's Off the Beat and Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Hello. Hi.
Okay.
What do I know about buttons? I know fuck all about buttons, do I? I don't know anything. What do I know? It's insane.
That's how you start a podcast, mate. That's how what the fuck do I know about buttons?
You shouldn't push all of them, should you? That's what happens, isn't it? Oh dear! No, hey, good to see you, brother. Anyway,
It's lovely to have you here, have a chat, mate. Yeah. So where's that? Is this where the magic happens?
This is kind of where the build happens, bro, and where we write the music and we do the rehearsals. It's all in one kind of big, almost like it's a cult. It's quite cool. It's just like a big kind of farm kind of thing. It's hidden middle of nowhere, and yes, where we get together and do our stuff, which I'm grateful for, which I needed after Kasabian. Mm. So, you know, I needed something to bounce or put myself into where I could, you know, take my head away from everything. So I'm just, you know, I'm just thankful, you know.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, look, we'll talk about your career to date, but yeah. Let's kick things off firstly with the first track. And I'm going to ask you, mate, to tell me.
Yeah.
The song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
Right. I thought long and hard about this. I was going to go with Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Right.
You know, the down, you know, all the build up. But I thought, without a doubt, it's Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd. As soon as you hit press play, and then it's the woman howling, the screaming, the intensity and the psychedelia of it, and then this swoosh and the piano comes in. It's so good. I mean, what do you reckon? What do you think?
I mean, it's as classic as it gets, right?
That's what I'm saying, classic. I mean, what would you say? Go on, what would you pick, brother?
I really like, sounds stupid, but I really like Fight the Power. I really like that kind of, that little intro of that voiceover of like, and then it just scratching, and then the beat drops, and yeah,
wow, you love
the beginning
it, yeah.
of what was the film? Do the Right Thing. Yeah, that wow. Public Enemy. Like hip hop, that's really big intros, man.
Love it. Hello.
So, with that in mind, Tom, like in regards to intros and how you approach it. So, to look at some of your work and some of Kasabian's work, like some of it have got like kind of sort of long, sort of drawn out intros, much like what you've just, you know, referenced with Floyd.
Yeah.
But then also you've got ones like, I guess, Clubfoot, like just drops like a fucking bomb. And like,
Weirdly enough, I was going to pick Clubfoot. You know, the intro is amazing. It's like a film, cinematic film.
Yeah.
Then it goes, oh, yeah. It's like a bomb. Yeah. Do you know what? No, stick with Pink Floyd. Stick with Pink Floyd. Can't keep changing my mind. It's my bloody ADHD. Sorry.
But with that though, mate, like with them kind of sort of long sort of drawn out intros, like we live in a world now which is the way that people get their music is way different to how they did when you first started making music.
Yeah,
you know, everything's being streamed and there's TikTok and there's all these other ways that that kids are getting their music. Like, you know, and the sort of attention on sort of trying to get on the right Spotify playlist, which, you know, maybe back in the day was the same as getting on the Evening Session. And
Exactly.
Like, how much are these new sort of ways in people are getting their music? And it feels that the attention spans are getting shorter and shorter, and kids want their music bite size and things like that. How much of these sort of trends filter through, if at all, to your creative process?
Do you know what, mate? To be honest, I think it's a nightmare, because what it is, everyone's got to write a song every week. It's absolutely fucking insane. Yeah. Like, the attention span. Like, how is Sophie Ellis-Bextor massive? Right, how? The song was shit the first time round. So she's lucky, God bless her. Fair yeah. play to her. I can't knock her. But Jesus, man. And that's TikTok or whatever yeah. that thing is. Or what's Kate Bush, you know? The same with her.
That was on Stranger Things.
Yeah, and all the kids are going, oh, this is weird. I was like, what? Yeah. Like, oh, Kate, this everyone's singing it. It's insane. But I suppose that's a new way of reaching an audience. But I mean, for record collectors or people who want to buy albums like yourself, or you want the artwork, you want to look at the lyrics, don't you? And now it's just, I don't know, it just, no one's interested, are they?
Yeah.
Like 30 seconds and that's it, they're out. That's it.
It's really weird, Tom. I've DJed in like an alternative club for 30 years now.
Yeah.
And what's been weird, after sort of lockdown and seeing the way that younger generation, I'm generalising, have got their sort of phones in their hands so often, I'll drop a track now that I know is an absolute stone cold banger that everyone's going to love.
Yeah.
And people will go fucking crazy for about a minute. And then you'll see people sort of reach in and get their phones out because it's done. They've had their hit of it. Do you know what I mean?
I believe, Matt, I think the way society is and the way human beings now, attention span, forget it. You might as well forget it. Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. It really is. I mean, people getting their information off TikTok, isn't it? It's just, I don't know. It's the way of the world, I suppose. But do you know what, mate? It will bubble and bubble and bubble, and it will burst sooner or later. It's dangerous, isn't it? And it, it's got its good things. It's got its bad things. But as for attention span, now I've got 11-year-old. I've got four daughters, right? And wow. I mean, the oldest one, Kyra, I mean, she's 17 and that, you know, but the twins and Mimi, I mean, it's a different world, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is, honest to God. So
I'll try and get my kids to watch a film. It's impossible.
Nah, it's pretty hard, unless it's old-fashioned Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean? I love all that stuff, man. But yeah, listen, I'm up to my daughter. I want to call you. She don't want to speak to me. I just thought I was saying hello. And I'm texting. I'm like, Mimi. Honestly, she's just, sorry, Dad. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
It is what it is, isn't it?
I know exactly. I'm exactly the same, mate.
Oh, mate, listen. Hey.
Yeah. Well, look. Let's move on to
yes,
track
brother.
Two, mate.
This was a good one, this one. I did like this one.
Well, this is the track that was the first song you heard that had an emotional impact on you.
Okay. Well, I was going to say Queen, Show Must Go On, because I remember the day Freddie Mercury died, and my mum opening the curtains in the bedroom. I remember it clear as day. What was it? 1990 he died or 91? I remember it clear as day. And mum saying Freddie Mercury died, and I remember all the tributes coming and everything, and he was doing the papers and all that. And then I heard the song, Show Must Go On. And it kind of struck a nerve with me. Like, it's a really beautiful song as well. You know, inside my heart is breaking, my makeup may be flaking, but, you know, I smile. And I'll never forget it, watching the video, and his days are gone, but he knows he's still got the whole concept of his life has to, you know, he still goes on. It's sad talking about it, but it hit a nerve with me. And I remember feeling really emotional about it. The only thing that come close to that is my mum singing Patsy Cline to me, Crazy. That's possibly the most emotional attachment thing I could get as a kid, you know, as a feeling. But I remember that really upsetting me, and it hit. And I always thought of that all through my life and from my music and or whatever it is, you know, or whatever I've been or what I've been doing. The show must go on, and it meant something to me. Yeah.
People often reference like Freddie Mercury as this iconic front man. They show that concert at Wembley in 86 where he's got the whole of, you know, the whole audience in the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
Was that important to you when you started getting on stage with a band to 100%, want that presence? Because you fucking own it. Do you know what I mean?
It's, mate, brother, I'm telling you now, man, I swear to God, the reason why I'm on that was, well, doing what I do, and we did, was there's only one guy, it's called Michael Jackson, and I used to watch his videos. My mum and dad would be like, oh, he's doing it again, he's mimicking the TV moves, Pat. Oh, my dad would be like, Pat, look at him, oh dear. For 3 hours a night, that's why I'm on stage.
Yeah.
That's, and Freddie Mercury, things like that open my eyes up. Yeah, yeah. Of course. And then, yeah, that, God bless you, Michael Jackson. God rest your soul, mate. But, you know, that is the sole reason why. I mean, Serge used to say it quite a lot to me. He said, you're really, really soulful, aren't you? Like, I grew up on Motown music, you know, and all that music. And, yeah, the reason why I'm stage is because Michael Jackson. I couldn't relate. I wanted to be this thing, this rock star, you know. This is when I was about 3. I was honestly, mate. I was recording Rewind Fritter and back, man. Honestly, I'll put me 4 years old, I swear. And I used to watch his full concerts, mate. Poor mum and dad.
Mate, do you know what?
Like, yeah.
A little while ago, like, on this podcast, quite a lot of people will reference Michael Jackson as, because I guess if you're of a certain age, it's impossible to not have that Michael Jackson in your life.
He was the ultimate, though, man. Now, whatever your opinion is of him or whatever you think, and I've read loads of books, and I'm Michael, you know, I'm Team Michael. I had Michael's pets, and he brought a range of teddies out in the 80s, and I brought Bubbles, his monkey. Swear on your life, mate, honestly. but you know, he was pretty at. It was nearest thing to, my mum said the nearest thing to the Beatles, pretty big, that you'll ever get.
Do you know what? His performances were just like fucking different level.
Did you love Jacko? Did you love him? Yeah,
Tom. So like,
you look great, mate. You look good for 50, man.
Cheers, brother.
You look fucking all right. What are you fucking putting on your skin?
So it's for me. It was obviously. Jacko, Madonna, Prince, you know, growing up in the 80s, it's like three of the most iconic pop stars ever. But the thing with Jackson, like, his performances are amazing, his songs are amazing, but I think, like, not enough attention is paid to his voice. And I always showcase that. If I'm ever sort of chatting to people about how good his voice was, if you listen to Can You Feel It, right?
Yeah.
Two other Jacksons sing the first few verses, and then I think it's the third verse that Michael comes in with, other people are the world, and it's fucking leagues above it, and it's like, it's
honestly, it's another level, man. I mean, God rest him, when he said he's Peter Pan, I love it.
Yeah.
I am Peter Pan in my heart. I love it, mate. Honestly, don't. It's massive, isn't it? Jacko was on his own, man. Bless him.
Absolutely.
Absolutely gone. But anyway, oh, mate, I'm so glad you like Jacko. Listen, here's one for you. Me and Banan, who writes the songs with me, he's the bowl guy in the band. He was in the band called Infidels. He's mega.
Man, what a band.
Yeah, man. He loves Prince. We have an argument. He says Prince any day. Any day. I said Jacko, no, can't touch him. Jacko, no one can touch Jacko. What do you reckon?
I'm going to go. I'll go with Jacko, I think.
Yay!
Just because it just the pop sensibilities of it as well.
Sorry, Banan brother. There you go. Sorry.
Well, you mentioned Motown and that, Tom, and growing up on that and your mum singing Patsy Cline to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Was home musical growing up? And was that in Leicester?
Yeah, back in Leicester, yeah. Lovely Leicester. Sunday mornings were a music day for me, and because it just had nice memories of the LPs of like UB40 and the Carpenters and the Motown. That's why I was very brought up with a very musical vibe, should I say. A nice vibe, I'd say, in the house, you know. And it was massively essential. When I was younger growing up, I mean, I suppose music's it kind of shapes you, doesn't it? And what, in a way. Doesn't it? What you format yourself into? Why are you gonna? I don't know.
I think so. I think like there's record.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That I guess your chin strokers would say, yeah, that's not a very cool tune. But if for me, it reminds me of a certain time, a certain smell, a certain taste, or anything.
Yes, brother.
As a kid,
and you know what?
And
the people that say that's not a cool tune, fuck off. Like, literally, like, what is cool then? Like, literally, we haven't got time, have we? Yeah. Life's too short. We're like
absolutely.
TikTok. 30 seconds, you're out.
Yeah. Well, look.
Mate, yeah.
Let's stay in the formative years.
Yeah, yeah.
For track three, tell me the song that reminds you of your time at school, please, mate.
Right. Okay, brother. So this is Cypress and Insane in the Membrane.
Right.
Which, by the way... By the way, they're my mates, Cypress Hill. They said, Tammy, when you come to LA, you hang with us. I was like, yes, brothers, honestly. I kept meeting up with them at all the festivals around the world, and they kept looking for me, knocking on, wanted to hang with me. It was hilarious, man. Hilarious.
Oh,
be
God,
real. So cool, man. And he did Insane the Membrane to me, and he said, Tom Mean is fucking insane. And he pointed at me, and I was screaming at Serge, going, yeah, I've been waiting for this all my life. And we were buddies. And he was talking to my security, Martin. He said, when you come to LA, you come and hang with us. Wow.
Right.
But I kept bumping into him everywhere around the world, and we got, mate, this different level, absolutely huge level, huge level. You know what level it is.
And so how important was that band for you?
I mean, it was just that amazing era of being rebellious and thinking you're a bit of a punk in that age, in that generation. So you buy Cypress Hill, don't you? Or you buy Snoop Dogg, or you buy NWA or Public Enemy or whatever. I just loved his voice. I love Black Sunday. I like Pigs, the first album, yeah. Cypress Hill Volume 1, and Killer Man. And I had a Cypress Hill tattoo on my arm, and it was that shit. I had to have it covered, and I told him they were dying. I had the gang tattoo on my arm, Soul Assassins, being clever and said 16 years old, and it was wonky. And I got, I said, brother, I had your gang tattoo. I said, I got it covered. It was wonky, terrible. So he said, you're in the gang though, brother. You're one of us. Wow. So there you go. So, but yeah, man, just that Cypress Hill were fantastic. And there's no one like them ever since, is there? That kind of dope smoking gangster stories, samples, the beats, everything about Cypress Hill. You never get that era in hip hop again, though, will you? The 90s was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, especially mid 90s or early 90s.
The hybrids of music that was coming out then was like, it was such an exciting thing from what was happening with kind of, you know, what was happening over in Seattle, what was carrying over.
Yeah,
from
of course,
the late 80s and what was happening, you know, in Manchester, it was coming over, and then obviously leading up to what was called Britpop. And then in between that, you had drum and bass going off, and you had like, obviously the hip hop like explosion with, you know, I guess with Cypress Hill, the Beastie Boys, and House of Pain, and all of these bands, you know, Beastie's having a huge resurgence.
Beastie's, and it's just the reason why I picked that, because there was a load of, you know, when French students come over and the SWAT. Yeah, that horrible thing you do at school. No one stayed at my house, and I didn't go to France, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I didn't participate, but I put Insane in the Membrane on, and they should have seen their fucking faces. I went into the music room with my mate Ben Collins and put it on tape and played it full blast. And all the French fucking kids were like this, looking round. And Get out of the classroom, Tom. Honestly, don't. Happy memory. Did you like your school days, honestly?
Well, I was going to ask you that, right? Because...
Listen, I can't really... Go on, what are you going to ask me?
You need your own podcast, mate, I'll tell you.
Yeah, oh, God.
Do you know what? We were speaking about, a mutual pal beforehand. I was a classic in-betweener at school. I weren't the cool kid, I weren't the nerd. I just got through it. Do you know what I mean?
Brother, can I just say something?
Yeah.
I remember you now. I remember your face now. I can see it. Shit the bed, bro. With James. Yes. Sorry, I've just clicked. Yes, brother. Yes, mate.
Wonderful.
Yes, brother. I've clicked.
Did you know what you wanted to be at school?
I wanted to be a rock star, mate. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Nowadays with kids, they tag them, don't they? So you can't go anywhere. But my days at school, I did art, I did drama, and I did English literature. I passed all them, and then the rest were ungraded. I didn't turn up. So it's what it is.
Did you enjoy the sort of social element of school?
No, mate, I hated it. No. I'd sign in and go out the back door.
Yeah.
And watch MTV around my friend's house. That's the truth. There you go. And they couldn't tag you then, could they?
And because I said exactly the same to my careers officer. He said, "What do you want to be?" I said, "I want to be a pop star." And he laughed me out the fucking door. And then he said, "Come on, be more realistic. What do you want to be?" So I said, "Stuntman." I don't know where I pulled that from. And he laughed me out the door on that
as
well.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
How realistic did it feel being a working class lad in Leicester to become a rock star? Like who had you sort of seen from other towns or from your town, like, have success that you just thought, if they can do it, I can fucking do it?
I mean, obviously, the friends of mine, like Noel and Liam, they were like the fucking pioneers of it, weren't they? There were so many bands in the 90s, and the radio was great, weren't it? It was great, fucking great. Like, even shit pop music was all right, weren't it, in the 90s? You get what I mean? It's fucking rubbish. Sorry, I'm going on one. I can't help it. It is what it is, isn't it? James will be exactly the same. It's fucking rubbish. Honest to God. It's what is going on. It's just like you said, it's 30 seconds. It's like a sweet in your mouth, isn't it? That's what it is. It's like tasting a sweet and it's gone after 30 seconds dissolved. That's exactly what it is nowadays. But anyway, what were you saying anyway?
Who was inspiring you?
Oh, Liam Gallagher, without a doubt. And I loved the Ocean Colour scene. I loved Richard Ashcroft. I loved all these amazing bands. Suede, all these bands. But in the 90s as well, I like drum and bass. I like Mickey Finn and all that. So I had a BMX as well, brother, and a Naughty by Nature bomber jacket.
Oh, mate, bossing it.
Yes, and my big sleepers and my sovereigns on my fingers. Don't, mate, don't. They're bigger than my head. Like that. So I thought I was bad. Don't. Shocking. I had curtains as well.
Nice.
Don't. Hey, it's gone. But, brother, do you know what? When you think about that, that's frightening. It's gone, isn't it? It's frightening. Yeah. Absolutely frightening. That's nearly three decades ago. I can't take that. That's fucking 30 years. Wow.
You mentioned Liam now. And you mentioned Ocean Colour scene. I look at Simon and I look at Liam as frontmen. Like, Liam, he's obviously a ridiculous... iconic front.
Well, he just does it, don't he?
But
yeah, of
he doesn't need to do anything other than just stand there because he's just got something, hasn't he? And he's quite stacked. So what I want to know, Tom, is them early Verve shows, Ashcroft was pretty lively on stage, but where did you get that kind of thing where you just literally
burst,
fucking explode? Yeah,
it's me, mate. That's it. I think I'm most happiest when I'm singing on stage, mate, and that's where I just let all my ADHD flow. And obviously you can tell because I have 10 conversations at once, as you know already. You come on, I'm sorry about that. I should have one of them tags to warn you. but listen, yeah, it's It's energy, mate. I was born with energy, mate. It's me, isn't it? If you take, it's what I am. You know, I mean, I'm very hyperactive, obviously, but that doesn't make me any different, does it? You know, it actually makes me like Superman, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it felt like that when you know the times yeah. I've seen you perform, like it was you was conducting a crowd. And it
was. Well, do you know what as well, brother? What fucking always niggled. Well, it doesn't niggle me. It's ridiculous. But people used to think I was off my head on stage, right? And like, just like to do what I'd be doing, I couldn't be off my head, right? And it was always you look like you were gone because I click my teeth when I'm on stage. I get in time with the drums. I've got a nervous click, and everyone thought I was gurning. And I said, no, you can't.
You bite your teeth.
Yeah, I bite my teeth on stage to the drums and click. I've been doing it for years and years and years since I was a kid. Click to the beat. And I tell, Dave Grohl does it as well. Dave Grohl does it really bad. Clicks.
Really?
Yeah. And everything. So for years, but I was just like mashed up on this cocaine. Far from it. But there you go. I just want to let you know that wasn't the case. But yeah.
Wow. So,
yeah. I've got my teeth. I just like. Dave Grohl does the same as well. He plays the drums with his teeth. It's really bad for you.
That's mad.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So there you are.
Wow.
There you are.
So in those sort of early days as well, I want to ask you before we sort of move forward from the formative years. Tell me the first thing you're buying from a record shop.
Morris Minor. Is it Morris Minor and the Majors?
That's the one.
Stutter Rap. Do you remember it, brother?
Of course.
Oh, it's a fucking piece of shit, isn't it? It's a piece of shit. Oh, you know what? Why am I even talking about it? It's that bad. But I've got to be honest. There's no point me saying I brought a cool record when I didn't. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like Serge Records, he brought George Harrison's record. I've got my mindset on you. I know that's a lie. 100%. Serge didn't even listen to music. Right, don't put that out. It doesn't really matter. But I'm being honest with you. So, stutter rap.
What's interesting is like, I've done over 500 of these chats, Tom, and like, and it's always amazing when people just for this one just go, yeah, this it was fucking shocking. Like because it's so easy to go, yo, you know, this obscure John Peel, you know, thing that I heard, and it's like, come on, like no one's buying cool records when they're young.
Yeah, it was shit. Yeah, it was shit. Be honest, fuck off, mate. Yeah, I remember being on Top of the Pops.
Yeah,
and I went to a shop in Blaby where I grew up in Leicester, and I went to, it was a little record shop, and the B side was called Another Boring B Side. I swear,
love it.
There you go.
By the time that Kasabian had sort of hit the charts and stuff, was Top of the Pops done, or did you get on Top of the Pops?
Well, I think we were the last band to do Top of the Pops.
Really?
Yes. I think we were the last band. I think we did LSF on there. Yes, we did LSF, and we didn't do Clubfoot on there. No, we didn't do Clubfoot on Top of the Pops.
Tell me a little bit about that, Tom, because for someone like, I'm sure Top of the Pops was as important for you as it was for any other kid.
Oh, come on.
Like, that's where you saw your pop stars, wasn't it?
Mate, listen, it was the best thing Shakira was getting next to us. We were laughing, hilarious. We thought it was hilarious. And I'd written LSD on my hand instead of LSF, and the BBC were getting really upset. So I kept doing that to the cameras, LSF, and we had to do another take.
Oh, really?
My God.
Because you had LSD written on your
head. I swear it's in the archives, mate. That's insane. Yeah, there you go. I think it. Yeah. That's insane. There you go, brother. I swear we're the last band to do it.
How did that feel, getting that call?
Oh, mate, do you know what,
saying
mate?
You're going on the Pops.
Just brings it all back a bit, you know. Just proud, you know. Just really proud and just like, there's me, I'm on Top of the Pops. I told you I'd do it. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I warned you and there I am. It's very proud. And especially moments like, you know, when we're on like TV live, you know, like Glastonbury and things, and people had like going to the pubs and make it like a football match all around Leicester with the big screens out. Yeah. No, honestly, and when we headlined Glastonbury, the whole of Leicester, all the pubs were in the gardens and had the screens out like it was a football game. It's insane. That's what it meant to people back home. It's incredible. And while I'm on that stage, people are all screaming in the pubs at us. Like, it's like, I've never seen anything like it. My dad told me, I said it was insane. Like, everyone's out in the gardens, you know, it's just everyone's cheering. It's a pure pride.
How do you process and absorb that?
I can't. I don't think I ever did, you know. I don't think it did until it really caught up with me after a while and bit me. I don't know if I put myself into it that much. Did I believe it was real? I knew it was real what I was doing in my life. Did I believe it? Because I used to have conscious dreams that, like, I'd wake up and I'd be on stage with Serge. There'd be no one in the field. Or I'd be back at my old job before the band did all right. And these are all your conscience. So I don't know. I just lived it, mate. I just think I just lived it and didn't think about it. And that's damaging, but amazing. Yeah. Fuck it.
But I think there's so many people that don't live it that just are so worried about what might be around the corner.
Especially living in that fucking nowadays society, mate. You must be joking. You can't even fucking lift your eyelid without someone screaming at you. Yeah. So I just loved it, mate. Yeah, I loved the moment, and I'll be forever grateful to be given that chance. I've worked hard and done it myself, and been in the biggest bands in the world and ticks out the boxes. So I'm very privileged, and I got my medals. You know, I'm proud. All right, shit's happened. I'm restarting again. I'm trying to get some music out, but you know, that was my old band, and it's still a big part of me. You know, it always will be. But, you know, you got to, I've got to carve away for myself, you know, and do my own thing, you know.
Absolutely, mate.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's very in-depth, isn't it? It's a great interview, by the way, mate.
Oh, thanks, brother. Tell me about the song that soundtracked your years clubbing.
Well, right. I went to clubber.
Right.
We were gigging, weren't we?
Yeah.
But if it comes near to, I would say I'd pick Primal Scream, Miss Lucifer, because when we were gigging back in the old days, when Evil Heat come out in 2002, I think, or 2003,
yeah,
we were just doing our thing after the gig and popping our stuff, and Evil Heat was on at the time. I remember it blaring through the speakers, and that was our kind of rave, you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was our kind of club. What a tune, by the way. But that reminds me of being in an after club when I was 22, after we just played an Evil Heat come on. You get what I mean? That's my reference to it. Reminds me of that time. I was never a club. I went in clubs, bro. I was in rehearsal rooms.
Yeah.
And trying to be a fucking rock star. I ain't got time for fucking weekends. We worked our weekends in the fucking rehearsals room, bro.
Yeah.
And that's how we got so good. We rehearsed like four or five times a week.
Yeah.
And we got really good. Fucking really good.
I think that's...
Yeah.
Was the journey quite slow from sort of... Because, tell me if this is wrong, right? But I heard a story that you've got signed quite a long time before you put a record out.
No, we didn't. We didn't get signed. I think it was a Be Unique or something wanted to sign us, and it fell through. And I think Sony looked at us and they turned us down. And the guy from Food Records, Andy Ross, bless him, he's dead now. God rest his soul. Yeah, he passed. He came to see us. But no, we never had a record deal. And then we had Process Beats, and it fell into the hands of an A&R guy, and he gave it to Jed, the MD, Jed Doctor. And that was it. There we go. I mean, we were doing our thing 5 years before we got signed.
Yeah.
So that's half a decade before we've even breathed. Like, that's just us being boys and working out and starting. And Sabian weren't born until like 2001.
Yeah.
We were Syracuse. So, yeah.
And one of the things that, you know, that I think's lost in the way that people get their music now, you know, you mentioned, like, you know, getting a record and looking at the lyrics and that in it. And it's the artwork. And one of the things that I really like about bands is when I see a band and I can go back to the early 80s, and you mentioned UB40, like the early Madness, The Jam, Dexys through to Oasis. Like, when you look at a band and Suede, and like, when they look like a fucking gang.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And I mean, you look like a gang.
That's what we were. We were a gang. That's what everyone said when we came. You know, my good friend of mine, Manny, who I love dearly. God bless him. I love Manny so much. He said you're a gang. And when he heard Clubfoot, he was like, "That's the best fucking riff that I've fucking heard in decades." Yeah. That was Manny, and he's fucking bad. I love that guy, man. By the way,
he knows
love
the bass line, don't he?
Yeah, man, and he's one of the most genuine. Yeah, he knows, but he is the bass, isn't he? But he's one of the most amazing, genuine people I've ever met in this world. Yeah. There's not many of him. He's fucking soulmate. But he come and met us, man. We had an NME journalist turn up and he met us and we got tanked and we fucking hell, mate. We all got smashed about 12 o'clock at midday. I had to get the train back. Manny met us in his pub in Manchester. It was fun. And he had our back. He had our back. You know, he was supporting us and things like that I never forget, you know.
And in regards to sort of album artwork and stuff, like even like I remember being sent like through doing a DJ and I got sent Reason Is Treason and I was just like, whoa, this looks slick. And and then every sort of it looked so uniformed. It all looked great. It looked like it had its own look. Everything. And I remember Seniors very early on. It's the first time you'd done V. Huh. And it was about 3 o'clock one afternoon. I'm only up the road in Chelmsford, and I remember you just come on a lot of around Chelmsford had your branding on it, and I just thought this looks proper. That was before you'd even got on stage. And then when you got on stage, someone lit a fire on you and it was like, fucking, here we go. And and it was just, like, I remember my missus had never heard like your music and I was like, I've got a feeling this band are going to do something. We should go and have a little look. And she was just like, wow. Because it was like, you know, when you see them bands that are just,
it just
we're going to grab it with both hands and just go for it.
Do you know what, brother? That means a lot, though, man. That hearing things like that is really nice to hear. Because there's a moment in time. If we were good in that moment, weren't we? And we were there, and it happened, and it had to happen, didn't it? Yeah. Do you know? It's just one of those moments. There's so many. It's not throwing a net into a fucking sea.
Yeah.
Some fish slip. We slip the net, mate.
Yeah.
That's the way I can put, brother. But thank you for that, bro.
Anytime, my friend. Anytime.
Thank you.
I'm going to take you back for track six.
And, yes.
And I'm going to ask you to tell me a favourite song from an artist from your home county. Have you gone country?
Have I gone country?
Or
no,
county?
I've got Engelbert because he's from Leicester. Is that all right?
Yes, mate.
Fuck's sake. It's me. Fucking hell. There's your guy called Serge. Remember him, that guy? Engelbert Humperdinck. Engelbert.
Mate.
Please release me. Let me go. Yeah, I mean, legendary performer. He still looks the same. I don't know what. Do they freeze these people? I swear to God. Like, he's like frozen in time.
Yeah.
I see. Honestly, fair play. He knocked the Beatles off number one.
Yeah.
And he was a naughty boy.
Was
and
he?
And he was the same management as Tom Jones.
Right. You can see their sort of cut from the
same. Of course
same
you
club,
can. And, yeah. But yeah, of course. But yeah, just that croon and stuff. He's from Leicester, isn't he? You know, where was he from in Leicester? I've not done my homework. One second. Ready? Engelbert. He wants to do Glastonbury, doesn't he?
Oh, what? With the old thingy slot in the afternoon? Like, oh, mate, that'd be great.
Come on. Yeah, it'd be good. It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
He's one of them sort of old crooners that are like literally 40% airspray, aren't they? They're all lacquered up, the Barnet.
Here we go. He's like frozen in time. It's insane. He looks exactly the same like he did in like 1967. It's mental. What is going on? Right, here we go. Rich pop singer. La, la, la. Oh. Leicester, England. That's all it says.
Oh, mate.
Sorry. Early life. Oh. He was born in Madras, British. What? Yeah, forget it. Yeah, he was born in Leicester. I ain't got time for researching. Sorry. Fuck's sake.
Look, I want to ask. Like, I always like to ask guests two questions, and it's the first one is about confidence, and
yeah,
And every time I've ever seen you perform, confidence doesn't appear to be an issue. Like, was you nervous before shows, or you know what we saw was that, you know, was that just your battle armor?
Do you know what, mate? I'll be honest with you as well. I mean, the only time I ever felt really badly nervous, and I was the first gig I had back. I was crippled, mate. Like, I was crippled with anxiety. My anxiety is crippling anyway. That's just me. But, mate, oh, what's it going to be like? It's me. Is it right? Am I right? Is this right? I don't feel right. Do you know? It was so strange. It weren't like the candles in the air, you know, the birthday cake. You know what I mean? It weren't.
Yeah.
Whatever you think. I was just like, and when once I got into maneuver, mate, then I was gone. Now I'm well back. I'm comfortable, mate. I think it's all the shit, brother. Just being in the public eye or whatever for the last fucking 3 or 4 years, whatever it is, you know, since me and my wife did fucking incident. Yeah. You know what I mean, bro? But apart from that, mate, that's the most terrified I've ever been. But I just go for it, you know?
And what about, confidence aside, what about drive? What drives you, Tom?
What drives me on stage?
Just in general, like what makes you want to create? And what you know, when you get up in the morning, what makes you think, right, today I want to create something?
Because I wake up, brother, and God gave me something in my life and to sing. He gave me something, whatever God it is, and I want to use that, you know. And the best thing about what I do, what artists do, or whatever, when I'm feeling, I can put it down onto record, you know. That's the best thing ever. Poetry on record, mate. Now you get it all, you know. Yeah, honestly, yeah. That's what makes me do it. And I've got one life, brother, and I want to try and make the best best. And I've just, listen, you know what else? What people are forgetting to do is just have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I forgot that word, fun, did you? Do you know what I mean? And just, yeah. I'm here to change the world with my music. I'm fucking full of shit. Of course I'm not. I ain't going to do that. I've done it. I did it like Sabian. You know, I've done my thing. I'm just here to write my music, man. If people dig it, they dig it, don't they? And you know, it's been amazing. The fans and the support, everything. It's just been spot on. And the people coming to the shows have been people crying. There's been people, honestly, been men in tears, mate. It's really emotional. So, yeah, wow.
That's so special, isn't it? That you can connect with people.
That's why I do it. Because if I don't keep doing that, then what else are they going to fucking listen to?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm coming back, man, bit by bit, brother. Yeah.
Good on you, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Tell me a song that you think many people may not know that you would like them to hear.
All right. This is a good one. Aphex Twin, Come to Daddy.
I mean, there's some glorious racket there, isn't it?
Right. Reason why, because it's fucking horrible, isn't it? It's horrible.
So horrible.
The whole song, it's vile. It's vile. Richard D. James knows. He lives in Cornwall somewhere. I might knock on, do a record with him. He's somewhere around here. I swear he is.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, oh, God, it's just brutal, isn't it? It's Prodigy times 100, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just sliced. It's so good. He's so good. It's uncomfortable. You're not supposed to go, this is mega here.
Yeah.
You're an idiot if you think that's amazing music. It's absolutely vile, but it's so good. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I don't think I could put that any better myself.
But he did say in an interview, I can't believe people like it.
Yeah.
He said that. He said, you idiots. He said that. So, there you go, brother.
I saw him DJ in about 1990 something.
Did you see his long hair? He's surfer dude, isn't it?
horrific things I've ever heard.
What,
it was just,
what did he do?
It was just, I think at some point he was. I'm sure he. I don't know if it was that or it was just a story that I'd heard. It was fucking noise. It was madness. And I'm sure he played a sheet of sandpaper on a turntable.
Yeah,
and,
wow.
It was pretty out there. But it was like, I'm quite a fan, you know? Like, yeah, a lot of what he does. I think, is fucking amazing. Some of the stuff he was doing, you know, without sounding like, you know, indie wanker, some of the stuff he was doing before Aphex Twin was fucking great.
If you listen to the Kid A album, Radiohead, fucking love, it's that Aphex Twin, isn't it? The vocals, the atmosphere, the atmospheric, the sound of it, everything. It's pure Twin.
Yeah. Brilliant. Stuff tell you like Idiotech and that really ain't that far away from Windelicker and stuff
like
that.
Do you know what? Exactly that. Idiotech's mega. That is mega. No, that is cool. That's not far away.
Yeah.
I know we're on the same level, brother, haven't we? Where you been since the Pretty Green Party, you? What was that, 16, 18 years ago? When was that?
Fucking hell. I bet that was...
2012, wasn't it? Was it 2011? It was somewhere. When did he launch it? It was somewhere around there, wasn't it?
It's got to be
15 years ago, bro. He's a...
Bloody hell.
Anyway.
Right, well, look, Tom, we've spoken about Saving, we've spoken about all these other great records, but we ain't spoken about what you're doing now.
Yeah.
So... you're coming down to my manor. You're coming to Southend-on-Sea with your acoustic. Am, yeah.
I went Southend United away with my dad
years ago.
Leicester City, we drew 1-1. There you go. Steve Walsh scored. There you go, 1991. It was behind the goal, so near to the metal cages.
Yeah, yeah.
1991, Steve Walsh.
Love it.
Horrible ground, horrible, horrible. And they got the apartments in there, isn't there now?
That's right.
So... You a South End fan?
No, I'm not. No.
God bless you. Sorry. Anyway, I don't want to knock South End, but I remember it very well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you've been out on tour, and now you're going to go back out with the acoustic this time.
Yes. Do you know what, pal? I've been waiting for a long time to just go out as an acoustic strip back raw. And I think, you know what, more than anything, it's just playing songs on guitar and then people have a little bit of a release with me.
Yeah,
it's not too, it's just, we would play some like new ones and some old ones and everyone's just going to have a good time. Like Post Malone did a load of bars in America. It's that kind of vibe, you know, and it's going to be me for real. You know, I'm going to speak, have a bit of interaction. But I'll tell some tales and stuff, and it'll be nice, man. We're on stage about an hour and 20, and it's lovely. Great. It's perfect. It's lovely. Happy days, man. I'll see, are you coming?
Yeah, I'll be there at South End, mate. Right. Don't worry about that.
You're in an appearance, you are. I'm going to bring you on.
Wonderful. So who's going out? Is it just you, or is the band going with you?
It's me, Chris Hayden, Buff, the lead guitarist, and there's Brody Maguire, who's another two lead guitarists. They're fucking fans. So these are my band. They're great. The way they just play guitar, that I'd lead them to it. Like we went through the rehearsals and we're getting the harmonies and wow. And I was playing guitar and I was like, here you go. It's just like, yeah, they can play it. They're just good. They're just really good. They're too good. Do you know what I mean? But you come with the wife.
I reckon so. Yeah.
Got you in it now, aren't I?
Yeah, hey. I can't get out of it now, can
shit.
I?
Sorry about that, mate. Fucking, I didn't realise. Oh, no. I had to cut that. Oh, mate, listen. Brother. Come and hang after anyway.
That'd be lovely, mate. Love to.
But bring James if he's around.
I'll give him a nudge.
All right.
And so life now is down in Cornwall.
Yeah,
what a beautiful place to be, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still in Leicester with my wife and all my daughters are there and they've got the bold cats.
Yeah.
Sphinxes, don't. Vivian and Baby Boo. But I'm a sucker because I didn't like cats.
Yeah.
I grew up with Jack Russells.
Yeah.
My wife's like, oh, I love them bold cats. She's fucking, in the end, I got one. And then she got pregnant. Don't. Four girls. Two bold cats and a wife. It's lovely, isn't it?
Jeez, man.
Man, keeps me on my toes, doesn't it? But I love it, mate. And I miss it. I do, you know, I do miss home things and stuff. But I've got to get busy now and stuff, you know. So it is what it is. I've got to get ready for the road. And you know, things are great, man. We're putting an album together, should I say. Just about finished it, but it's got to get some more things like the artwork sorted and what the running order is going to be and go over it and, you know, bits and bobs and touches. And but everything's upwards and onwards, mate. And I got the Isle of Wight Festival, which is great.
Yeah.
So I headlined it 5 years ago. Yeah. It's insane.
And it's been nice recently that I see your mate Noel has been taking you out for some big shows as well.
Do you know what, man? He's been a fucking diamond, mate. You know, like sticking his neck out for me, you know. And I met the brothers when I was like 22, 20. They fell in love with us. They thought we were fucking amazing, Sabian. I remember we come off stage and I remember Noel saying, we were your support band. We did like the midnight slot, the graveyard slot at Benicassim, and we completely fucking killed it. And Pa put it, I remember looking up and said, this, those two fuckers over there, Clubfoot. And Liam and Noel went, who's he calling a fucker? And then I remember Noel coming over and said, we were your support band. How do you fucking do that? How? And then ever since we've toured with them, we were great friends and we jammed, you know, we've had some great, some good memories. And you know what? Out of everyone, you know, about what's happened and, you know, the way he's been fantastic. You know, he put me on his tour and I thought, you know, these are the biggest gigs I've got for, you know, it's my chance to do my thing. And it was a great tour and, you know, nothing but admiration for him. And, you know, I'm very, he's a fucking diamond for letting me come on tour with him. And it was great. So, yeah.
Tom, it's been a
pleasure.
It's great to hear, you know, things are moving forward. It's lovely to hear, man.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks for your time, brother.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm going to press stop. Don't go anywhere.
I won't, bro.
There you go, Tom Meehan. Thank you ever so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. As mentioned at the beginning, why not go and explore the back catalogue now? Over 500 episodes, all to be enjoyed. You'll recognise all your favourite pop stars and actors and DJs and producers over in the archives. And if you'd like to support the podcast, then in the show notes, just click patreon.com/offthebeatandtrack and pay $1.80 a month to get loads and loads of good stuff. Alternatively, there's a link that says buy me a coffee. So you can just click that and buy me a coffee because, well, I like coffee. I'll be back next time. In the meantime, be nice and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.